Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Masachet Nedarim on Chaf Hey, Chaf Dalet Amud Bet, at the bottom, at the Mishnah, which is really Mishnah Bet, or the beginning of Mishnah Bet, in the third parak. And if you recall, our parak began with a list of four kinds of Nedarim, which are inherently invalid. And the first one was Nidre Zeruzin. And we dealt with them over two pieces. And now we're going to take a look at the next one, which is Nidre Havai, exaggerated Nidarim. We have a very short line. What is Nidre Havai? Amar konam im lo ra'iti padera chazek ole mitzrayim im lo ra'iti nachash kekorat beit habad. The person is just trying to say that they saw something amazing. So he says, I take a neder to whatever effect. If I didn't see on this road the same amount of people as left Egypt, or a serpent that is like a beam of an olive press. Now, the person is clearly exaggerating. He's trying to get people to believe what he says, and he's saying, if it's not true, I'm taking a neder. That's Nidre Havoi. Now, the Gemara immediately addresses this. Tana, Nidre Havoi Mutarin, Shvuot Havoi Asurin. So we have a ruling that whereas Nidre Havoi are mutar, but shvuot havai are not, which means whatever thing in nedarim is nothing, the same thing in shvuot is valid. Heichadam is shvuot havai. So what is a shvuot havai? Ilem adam ar shvua im lo ra'iti b'derech hazeh. If he says, I take an oath that I never saw so many people on this road, so midam kamar, I didn't say anything. So amar baye da'am ar shvua shura'iti. He takes an oath that he did see that many people. So Amalei Ravim can't Lamalei the Meimar. Then what? He hasn't said anything. Basically, it's a Shvuot Sheker because we know he's saying an impossibility. I saw 40 million people here, and so it's just a Shvuot Sheker. There's certainly no validity. Ella Amar Rava, and so Dumi the Neder Ktani. Rava also says that it's supposed to be parallel to the Neder, and in the case of the Neder, there is another thing attached that's contingent on seeing that amount of people. In other words, you're not taking an oath that you saw that amount of people, but you're taking an oath that you're going to do something if you didn't see that amount of people. Right? So Ela Amar Rava, but Omer Yeasu Parota Alam Alai B'Shvuaim Lo Ra'ita B'Derech Hazeh Kol Mitzrayim. So Rava comes up with something of a tortured formulation. But it has to be parallel to a neder. That's what he accomplishes. He says, all perot of the world are going to be prohibited to me as a shvua if I didn't see in this area ka'ole mitzrayim. Okay, now, taking that statement, Ravina then challenges it by saying it may have an alternative meaning in which it was really true. Now, you know, you can't have seen ka'ole mitzrayim. That's several million people. However, Amar Ravina the Ravashi, v'doma haigavra kina d'shum shenichaza. Maybe he saw a nest of ants. V'asik lahon shma ole mitzrayim, and he called him ole mitzrayim. In other words, that's what he meant. And we're going to see an interesting, deviant example of this in a few moments. But he basically saw a nest of ants that had several million ants in it, and he dubbed it ole mitzrayim because there were as many. And so he said, I swear I saw ole mitzrayim. Right? V'asik lahon shma ole mitzrayim, mishapim mishtaba, in which case his oath is a real oath. So you can't call it shvuot havai, it's a real shvuot. Or shall we say, the thing is not also to him because he said it's also to me if I didn't say Kolei Mitzrayim, and he did. So Amarlei, Ki Mishtaba Adaita Dedan Mishtaba. So Rashi's answer is, when you take an oath, the oath is based on language that has a standard meaning and not a personalized meaning. We don't refer to ants as Kolei Mitzrayim. That's not meaningful to us. Since when do people not take an oath and have it have personal and subjective meaning? When the Beitin administers an oath, what they say, we're not juring an oath based on what you're thinking in your mind, based on what we're saying and what the Beitin says. La fuke mai, so what is that removing? Lav la fuke de asik la holi skundri v'asik lohon shma zuze. Isn't it referring to a case where the guy takes little coins and he calls them big coins? In other words, he has his own name for them, so when he takes an oath that I paid back 100 big coins, he is, in his mind, taking an honest oath because he paid 100 little coins, but he keeps to call them that. And since the Beit Din says, you're taking an oath al da'atenu, So obviously it means that a person will take an oath and mean it by their own subjective meaning, and that's what the Beit Din has to warn against. The answer is lo. Afuki mikanya derava. When the Beit Din administers an oath and they say, we're making you take an oath based on our understanding of the words, not your understanding, it doesn't mean that people give perverted and tortured understandings to words, but rather because they will play a whole trick. It's not about the meaning of the word, but play a whole trick to try to be able to take an oath, be honest about the oath, and still get out of paying. Like the famous story of the Cain and Rava. What's the Cain story? There was a fellow who was coming after his debtor for money. So they came to Rava. Amarle lelove. So Rava said to the borrower, to the debtor, Zilparali. The plaintiff said to the borrower, Zilparali, pay me. Amarle praticha. He said, I paid you. Amarle Rava imkein zili shtavale de parate. So if that's the case, you, the borrower, take an oath that you already paid him. Evidently, he had 1/8 against him. Azava aiti kanya. So the fellow said, okay, I'll come back. And he came back with a cane. V'yayiv zuzi begave. He put the money inside the cane. It was a hollowed out cane. V'havim istamich v'azil. He was leaning on the cane. V'ati alei the Beit Din. And he came to the Beit Din with the cane. Amarle lemalvi said to the creditor, Nikotai kanya biyadach, here, hold this cane for me while I take the oath. Nasav sefer Torah v'yishtava de pari komada habile biyadei. And the fellow then took a sefer Torah, and holding the sefer Torah, he took an oath that he had paid everything back that he owed. And now what happened? Hu malve ragaz v'tavralu kanya, the borrower, the lender, was so enraged, because he knew that he hadn't been paid back, he was so enraged that he took this guy's stick and he broke it, and the money all fell out, which means we understood that the fellow played a trick so he could take an oath, and the oath would not be a lie, because he really had given the guy all of the money that he owed him. However, he had given to him in a stick, and the guy just thought he was holding a stick for a minute. It turned out that he had taken an oath that was real. So in other words, when the Beit Din says, we're being mashbia you al da'atenu ve'al da'at Beit Din, they don't mean to say because your own personal tortured meanings are not relevant, because people don't have those sort of meanings. People say Azuz, they understand Azuz is Azuz. People say Ole Mitzrayim, they know they mean people and not ants. However, what they mean is when you talk about paying back or giving, we don't mean giving it in some secret way that you're going to get back 5 minutes later, but really paying it back in a way that the fellow knows. Unlike this story. Now, you're still going to claim that people do not take an oath based on their own understanding of the words? V'atanya, watch this. V'chein matzinu Moshe Rabbeinu. K'shishpiyat Yisrael be'avot Moav, when Moshe Rabbeinu administered the oath, which is at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Atem Nitzavim, and administered the oath in the Arvot Moav that they would keep the Torah. Amar lahem, hevu yodim, he said to them, you better know, shelo al da'atchem ani mashpia etchem. I am not administering an oath based on what you think the words mean. Ela al da'at tivi al da'at hamakom, rather than what I think they mean and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks they mean. Shenemar, lo itchem levatchem anochi korei tabrit hazot. It's not with you that I'm making the brit. Now the rest of that passage is, and I left the next pasuk out, is, but also with your children and those who are not here with us today, they are included in the brit. That's much earlier in Sefer Dvarim. That's in Nitzavim. But the import here is, I'm not making the brit with you, meaning I'm not making it, and then each one of you has your own personal terms that you're going to interpret it as, and we'll see some examples of that. Now, Maya Marlaha Moshe, Yisrael, what is the explanation of this conversation? Lav hachi kamar lahu, isn't this what he said? Dilma avitun mili, maybe you're going to go do violate something. Fiamritun al datenu, and then you'll say, yeah, when we took the oath, we meant it this way. And we'll see an example. Mishum hachi kamar lahu al dati, that's why Moshe said, you're doing it based on what I understand, lafuke mai, and what's that excluding? Isn't it excluding a case where they will personally call Avodah Zarah a god, and then they'll say, oh, we don't worship Avodah Zarah, we worship God, when they did Avodah Zarah. So you see that people actually make up their own meanings, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to counter that. The answer is, that's not true. Avodah Zarah is called a god in the Torah. Shenemar, you see, Dichtiv, when Hashem says, I'm coming through Mitzrayim to do the Makat Pachorot, I'm going to act against the gods of Egypt. So you see that the Torah calls Avodah Zarah a god. That's not a personal made-up meaning that we have to contest. That's a meaning that people will adopt, and justifiably so. So why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu then get explicit and say, I'm going to ashviya you that you have to keep mitzvot? So mashma mitzvot hamelach, because mitzvot itself, the word itself, would may mean, yeah, we're going to keep the commands, whatever the king tells us to do. Meaning we'll be good citizens. So say, I'm going to ashpia you that you keep all mitzvot. And why does he have to say, al datenu, not your dat and my dat? Just say, I'm going to make a minister an oath that you're going to keep all mitzvot. So, mashma mitzvot tzitzit. If you say all the mitzvot, that could be tzitzit. And by the way, that could be Shabbat, and that could be Eretz Yisrael. Several things that Chazal say about them, they're equal to all mitzvot. Right? The Amar Marsh, Gula mitzvah tzitzit, kenegar kol mitzvot sheva Torah. Mitzvah tzitzit is equal to all the mitzvot in the Torah, as the Pasuk indicates, the one, Pasuk 3 on the page. Vishami aton mikamtin in Torah, so why doesn't he say, I'm being mashpia you, that you will fulfill Torah? That should encompass everything. Mashpa Torah achat, because then it sounds like it's only one Torah. Torah shebichtav, maybe Torah shebal peh, they don't have to keep. So why doesn't he say, I mashpia you to keep Torot in the plural? Then the mashpia Torah mincha, Torah chata, Torah hasham, I put the keep sukim on the page in the second piece in Vayikra that goes through the Torah HaKorbanot, the instructions to Aharon, not the instructions to the Israel bringing it, which is in Parsha Vayikra, but in Parsha Tzav, which gives the instructions to the Kohanim of how to perform the Korbanot. It says, Zot Torah Tachatad, Zot Torah Tasham, Zot Torah Tamincha, and therefore when you say, you have to do Torot, that means we have to do the Korbanot, that's it. Shavei Yaton Mekamtinun Torot Umitz, Torah Umitzvot. So why does any mashpia them, you have to do Torah Mitzvot, which is unequivocal? The answer is, we'll say, Torah, Mashpa Torah Tamincha, etc. Mitzvot, Mashpa Mitzvot Tamelech. In other words, we'll just combine them and say, Torah, that means one Torah, or Torot would mean the Korbanot, either the Stugir Saoter. And Mitzvot would be mitzvah tamelach. In other words, any one of these terms you use is reasonably interpretable in another way, which is not going to accomplish what Moshe means, and therefore Moshe has to say, I'm being mashpia you to fulfill Hashem's word the way that I mean it, and not with your own tortured inventions. So say, you have to fulfill Torah kula. So, Torah kula mashma avodat kochavim. Right? The Tanya Hamura Avodah Kochavim Shekol Hakol for Ba Kilu Modeh B'Torah Kula. Avodah Zarah is so severe that anyone who rejects Avodah Zarah, it's as if they've kept the entire Torah. And so therefore, if he used the phrase, I'm being mashpia you to keep the entire Torah, they'll say, good, we won't do Avodah Zarah, that's keeping the entire Torah. Right. V'lishavei Yoton V'kamtinen Avodah Kochavim V'Torah Kula. So why doesn't he say Avodah Zarah and the rest, and the whole Torah? And so then he can't say the whole Torah means Avodah Zarah. Right? Inami, or another way to say, Shesh Mil Dostosha Mitzvot, Tayag Mitzvot. The answer is, Alamoshe Rabbeinu Milta Delo Tricha Nakat. He wanted to say, make a very simple thing. So he said, you have to do everything God said, and the way that it's understood, not the way that you create your meanings. And so, very simple phrase. And therefore, we understand that people will not necessarily create their own meanings for things. And that answers what we had at the beginning of the Sugya. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say it this way? I gotta say it because people will glom on to meanings that are already in the text, or reasonable meanings, in order to excuse their behavior and say, no, we took the oath, we were connecting to that meaning, or that meaning, but not a personal meaning. Alright, and that takes us back to the question that was asked of Rava on the previous Amud, that since when do we refer to, ants? As possibly Yotzei Mitzrayim, we rejected that and said nobody would ever refer to that. And therefore, if a guy said, I'm taking an oath of asring all perot on me if I haven't seen Ka'olei Mitzrayim, he means people. And therefore, unlike a neder, the oath is a valid oath and he's stuck. And there's no way in the world that he saw them. And if he turns around and says, I meant ants, we say, it doesn't matter what you meant. Shvuot always follow the general understanding. The reason that the Beit Din says, Al Da'atenu, is you won't play the trick like the Cain. The reason that Moshe Rabbeinu had to say al dati and al dat hamakom was so that you would not, so Bnei Yisrael would not adopt psukim here and there to justify bad behavior. All right, the end of the Mishnah said, "Lo ra'iti nachash karat beit habad." Another neder havai is if I'm not going to eat any perot if I didn't see a snake that a serpent or a snake that is like an olive, the beam of an olive press. Velo? Wait, is that so impossible? Shapur the king lived in, it was the 3rd century in Persia. In his days, there was a famous story about a huge snake. They gave him 13 stables worth of grain. Uvaliyaton, he ate them all up. It was a huge serpent. So tell me that you saw a serpent the size of a beam. All right, such things happen. It's not nuts. The answer is Bataruf. So Amar Shmuel Bataruf, that the issue here is not the size, but the fact that he was smooth. All snakes are smooth. So Agavu Taruf Kemrinan. It means that his back, not his neck, they're all smooth, but it means his back. Velini Taruf, so why doesn't he say that in the Mishnah? Why isn't the guy saying, I'm taking an oath if I did not see a smooth-backed serpent? So the answer is, Meltagav Urche Kamash Malan. The text is teaching you something incidental about commerce. The Korat Beit Haban Gavot Taruf, that the beam of an olive press has to be smooth. And therefore, when the guy says, I swear that I saw a snake like an olive, like a beam of an olive press, meaning as smooth as that, it teaches you that it has to be smooth also. L'may Nafkamina. Why do I need to know that? For commerce. If I sell you a beam and I say this is a beam for an olive press, if it's smooth, fine. If it's not, you can come back to me and say, I want my money back. You didn't sell me a real beam for an olive press. All right, everybody should have a good day. And we're going to pick up on Daf Chafei Amud Bet on the next Mishnah, which is the continuation of Mishnah Bet, and deal with Nidrei Shigagot. When we next meet, and that will take us then to the sugya of Nidrei Onsin. Everyone should have a wonderful day.